Coming up on today's episode, we continue David's conversation about a potential OJ Howard trade with some responses from you, the listeners, as well as me, the co-host. But first, Jason Pierre-Paul had a successful knee surgery on Wednesday, and there's more talk about premier quarterbacks coming to the NFC South. All that and more on today's episode of the Locked On Bucs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up and welcome back to the Locked On Bucs podcast. I'm James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything he and I are doing over at BucsNation.com and make sure you follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucs, at Jarko underscore Bucs, at DHarrison82, and at Bucs underscore Nation. We'd like to welcome in all of our returning listeners as well as all of our new listeners. Go ahead and hammer that subscribe button on your podcatcher of choice. We sincerely appreciate it. And if you feel so inclined, leave a five-star review and help other Buccaneers fans like you find us. Also, make sure you're checking out all of our free agent profiles going on over at BucsNation.com and voting for the PewterCast Awards, the Pewties, ends tonight. Make sure you get your votes in. David and I, of course, are nominated for Content Creator of the Year for the Locked On Bucs podcast. David is nominated for Guest of the Year. Good friend of the show, Carmen Vitale, nominated for Media Personality of the Year. But go on there, vote it up, and then at the end of the show, little fun information coming at you regarding the Pewties.
Speaking of new developments, James, we have some news and notes from around Bucs World. Party time, excellent. Jason Pierre-Paul had a successful knee surgery, which shouldn't affect his status for the 2021 season. JPP himself posted on Instagram that he was having the procedure, and then next year he'll be playing at 100% rather than 70%, which has to be terrifying for everybody, especially other pass rushers in the NFC South that are dwarfed by the ability that Jason Pierre-Paul has displayed throughout his career and the 2020 season, specifically talking to you, Cam Jordan.
Oh, shots fired. Yeah, I mean, Jason Pierre-Paul probably hasn't been playing at 100% since 2018. You know, he suffered that neck injury in the car accident, so he wasn't playing at 100%, you know, heading into 2019 when he finally rejoined the team. And then he comes out and says that he played at 70% in the 2020 season. That's why we saw him miss so many practices, especially in the postseason. So, you know, having this procedure, getting stuff cleaned up, being ready for the 2021 season, a Jason Pierre-Paul that is playing at his 100% ability is a terrifying thing for opposing teams. And honestly, I'm here for it.
Yeah, I mean, the more JPP you can get, the better, and he already showed what he can do. Didn't practice for probably, I don't know, like the last 2.5 months of the season, it seemed, but still came out game in, game out, and made an impact. Even if he didn't record any significant stats, still definitely had an impact on the games. James, something else coming out from around the NFL is more news on a potential quarterback change within the division. Russell Wilson has given the Seahawks a list of teams that he would approve a trade to, and that includes the New Orleans Saints, which obviously is bad news for anybody in the NFC South because Russell Wilson, his nickname is Dangerous for a reason. He's very dangerous. And, you know, even with a slant expert in Michael Thomas and not much else, the New Orleans Saints could use some mid-round draft picks that they would be able to keep in a trade with Seattle to go get some stretch-the-field type of guys. We know, looking at the last couple of draft classes for wide receivers, that pool has been deep, and the pool continues to be deep. This year's wide receiver group is expected to be just as deep as last year's was, and another impressive rookie crop entering the NFL. So even having to give up prime draft picks to get Russell Wilson in a trade with the Seattle Seahawks, the New Orleans Saints would still have potential draft capital left to bring in some weapons for their new quarterback. So yeah, I mean, nothing to freak out about. You know, you still have one of the best defenses in the league, potentially, and building on top of that, but Russell Wilson entering the NFC South is definitely not good news for anybody else that's not a fan of the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I mean, Russell Wilson joining the Saints is far more concerning to me than Deshaun Watson joining the Carolina Panthers. But look, the New Orleans Saints would have to do some serious cap gymnastics in order to make this work. And, you're also talking about, in order to clear some of that cap space, you're probably sending back one or two players of heavy significance in return, in addition to the draft capital. So, you know, it would certainly shake things up a bit. I don't think at the end of the day, Russell Wilson is going to go anywhere. You take a look at the two situations and Russell Wilson's problems with Seattle. And he said that he wants to stay, but there are some teams he would approve the trade to. His problems with Seattle is on the field, whereas Deshaun Watson's problems with Houston is personal. It's off the field. It's behind the scenes. And that's not really something that can get reconciled. I do think when all is said and done, when all the dust settles, Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks are going to be able to figure out how to continue to move forward with one another. And I wouldn't list the Saints as the most likely team to end up with Russell Wilson should he get traded. But you know what? If you want to take that chance, those odds, they're right over there at betonline.ag. And I don't know, it may sting that Russell Wilson comes to the Saints, but if you bet on it, you might win some serious dough. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality television with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Just head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. Again, promo code LOCKEDON, and you will receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We dive in to the OJ Howard discussion that David started with your reactions coming up next in segment two of the Locked On Bucks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Closing out the week here at the Locked On Bucks podcast, segment two of today's episode. After you're done listening to this show, get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts a breakdown of the biggest stories with analysis from your local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. And James, like you mentioned at the end of segment one there, on my solo episode on Thursday, I did ask you to consider the question, and I asked Bucks Nation to also consider the question. If the Buccaneers were to entertain a trade for O.J. Howard, what would it take for you to be happy personally with the trade? What kind of compensation would you want back? And specifically, I mentioned the Washington football team because, as many of our audience knows, I have recently started co-hosting the Locked On Washington football team podcast as well with Chris Russell over there. And that's actually that's going to be our topic of conversation for our Friday episode there as well, is what should the Washington football team offer Tampa for O.J. Howard if they were to enter into trade negotiations. So kind of a little bit of a crossover event type of thing happening. So basically, if you want to hear, as a Bucks fan, the Washington side of that conversation, head over to Locked On Washington football team podcast and check out that with Chris and I. And then obviously we're going to talk about the Bucks angle here. And James, just like they always do, our listeners came through. We got some tweets. We got some voicemails. We're going to kick off the conversation with a voicemail, and then you are going to react to what this listener would want in return for O.J. Howard.
What's up, boys? Tyler from Boston. I'm calling in regards to the O.J. Howard trade question that y'all asked. I think best case scenario, and I mean best case scenario, you maybe get a third round pick. But more realistically, I think maybe a fourth or a fifth is what I would expect. And if you got a fifth, I think it's reasonable to expect maybe you get a fifth this year and then maybe, like, you know, a fifth or a sixth the year after or something like that. I mean, O.J. Howard was injured this year, but he's still young, still 26. He's productive. He was a first round pick, which I know doesn't mean much, you know, a few years later, but I mean, he's still carrying that pedigree. So I think that's a reasonable expectation.
Tyler, I'm going to say something to you that I've never said to you on the show. I've never said to anybody on this show. But I think saying that a fifth round pick, maybe two fifth round picks, or a fifth and a future sixth, it warrants this reaction. Come on, man. No. Way too low. they would laugh and hang up the phone. But Tyler, I still love you, buddy. And I appreciate every time you call in. Please don't stop just because I hit you with a come on, man.
All right. So heading over to Twitter, we got a reaction from Joshua Gardner at Chef Gardner One on Twitter. And he reacts to a lot of things that we put out there. So we greatly appreciate that, of course. And he hit me up personally. He said, so you take the Washington football team's second round pick for OJ, then you take that pick. So he took this an extra step. You package that second round pick with the 32nd overall pick because Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the Super Bowl. You try and move up to take Kyle Pitts, who can then sit behind Rob Gronkowski and learn for a year or two. And he says that's the only way you trade for OJ Howard. And listen, Joshua has been all up in the Twitter mentions on Locked On Bucks and on our personal accounts, rallying for Florida players recently in recent drafts. So he actually kind of expanded on this, James. I'm going to try to read this if I can. He messaged me privately and said, let me explain a little bit more. Not because Pitts is a Florida guy. He proved that he's a modern pass-catching tight end. He can be taught blocking at a higher level. Then he goes on to call Pitts a matchup nightmare from a receiving angle. And then saying, you know, acknowledging that while it would be odd to trade a tight end to just go then draft another tight end, having the kind of weapon that Pitts is possibly lessens the blow of letting certain players go. And he kind of hints at letting Cam Brate walk, which would then actually clear about $13 million in salary cap space for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Then he reiterates that Pitts goes on to learn from Gronk, learn blocking, and then is a long-term upgrade over OJ that the Buccaneers would then have. And he also continued on to the Chris Godwin conversation, but we've kind of kicked that horse right now, so we're going to let that one go just for a minute. Joshua, appreciate your input. James, what do you think? So you thought Tyler went too low. What do you think about Joshua?
Okay, I don't mind the compensation from Washington, but Joshua, it's going to take a whole heck of a lot more than the 32nd. And then David, what's Washington's second round pick? That's got to be in the 50s, right?
Yeah. So James, Washington's second round draft pick is the 51st pick overall.
Okay. Yeah. So you're talking about taking 32 and 51. That's not going to get you into the top 10, which is where a lot of these people have Pitts projected. And while we're talking about it real quick, I'm going to go off on a little mini side tangent. Can we stop mocking Pitts to the Bengals? I understand that people are all excited about Joe Burrow and they want to get him some weapons and AJ Green might be leaving, but the man is going to be murdered behind that offensive line. If the Bengals don't use every single draft pick they have on offensive linemen and then just let these guys battle it out, you can worry about weapons. You can worry about defense later. For the love of God, protect Joe Burrow. Stop mocking him a freaking tight end. But anyway, I digress. I didn't dive into Pitts very much yet. I haven't gotten into the draft stuff, so I don't know if I personally feel he would be a long-term upgrade over OJ Howard, but you're not going to be able to package those to move up to get Pitts. But I do think we're heading in the right direction in compensation from the Washington football team.
Yeah, so probably a little bit closer to what you're gonna ballpark the trade value at, and we'll see where that is, of course, in the next segment. But yeah, Kyle Pitts, I mean, he's a great talent, but I would be a little bit careful just kind of assuming, quote unquote, that you can teach somebody to block at the NFL level. Usually, guys that can't block in college, it's for a reason, and whether it's a willingness thing or a technique thing or just a raw strength thing, that's usually not a problem that just goes away. Although there are some examples of players becoming better blockers at the NFL level. So it's possible. I just wouldn't go so far as to say he will become a better blocker. So that's just a little bit of a hair to split there with Joshua, but we appreciate that. We got some other Twitter reactions as well, and they were kind of in the similar type of ballpark as those. But we also got another voice memo actually emailed to us by Yusuf out in Phoenix. So let's listen to that real quick.
Hey guys, it's Yusuf again. You guys keep asking us all these questions, so here we are. Keeping the fans busy. I think if I'm trading OJ Howard, I'm asking a late second, early third, or early third. I don't know, something like that. A lot of potential. He plays really well when he's not injured, which hasn't been a ton, but he's been banged up here and there. So that's just my thought. Also, real quick, you guys asked about what's too much to give up for Deshaun Watson for the Carolina Panthers. First of all, you don't touch McCaffrey. You can't. So I think you can give up some draft picks. I don't know what those are, but you can't touch McCaffrey. McCaffrey is too special of a talent to give up. I have a friend out here in Phoenix as well that is from North Carolina, out here going to school. So I asked him the same question, and he thought the exact same thing. Too much. You give up other things, but you don't give up McCaffrey if you can get him. If they're asking for McCaffrey, you don't do it. You just have to move on and get a quarterback that can complement McCaffrey well, or in the draft, find a quarterback. Anyways, guys, I'll get out of here. Go Bucks.
All right, so that was Yusuf out in Phoenix, and I think for the record, James, that's one person agreeing with you on the Deshaun Watson, Christian McCaffrey conversation. But what do you think about his trade? It's almost like we have the three bears, right? We've got one that maybe apparently is too cold in Tyler from Boston there with not asking for enough. We've got one that might be borderline too hot with asking for that second round pick and then trading it, folding it into Kyle Pitts for the future of the Buccaneers. And then we've got maybe Yusuf coming in not too hot, not too cold, not too hot, not too. Anyway, what do you think about Yusuf?
Yeah, again, I think we're on the right track there. It's like I said, I don't know, maybe I'm higher on OJ Howard than some of our listeners are, but yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there, David. We're trying to make this happen for you.
All right. Of course, the opinion on this that we all want to hear, of course, and that's why we're all here, including myself, is Mr. James Yarko, because what would any conversation be complete without the opinion of one Mr. Yarko? So we're going to hear what James has to say on the other side of this break, and we're going to do so thanks to our friends over at rockauto.com, who want to remind everybody that chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, while rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. rockauto.com always offers you the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like the airlines do. rockauto.com is for everyone and does not even require a membership or an account login. Even better, they're a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Sending you into the weekend in a fantastic fashion here on the Locked On Bucks podcast. But when you're done listening to us, make sure you are checking out some more friends of ours. Look, betting on the NFL doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, you can get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, David, I listen to our listeners, our people. I listen to your show. And the big question is, what would I accept in a trade for OJ Howard? And look, OJ Howard is the complete package at tight end. He is a dangerous receiving threat. He is already a good blocking tight end. That's why they drafted him so high. He is a well-rounded tight end. He is a freakish athlete. He's a phenomenal talent. However, on the flip side, you have the injury problems. The way I look at these injury problems, David, though, is he doesn't have like a nagging, reoccurring injury. These have been like fluke problems. Like he ruptured his Achilles after he scored a touchdown. And you know, that's just, it's a fluky thing. And we saw how much Tom Brady liked using OJ Howard. OJ Howard was the tight end one, you know, for those first couple of weeks. He was playing phenomenal football. So you have all the potential in the world. You have all the athletic ability, all the talent, if he can stop getting hurt all the time. Remember, that was the bag on Gerald McCoy, too. He had those two bicep tears, and you know, those were kind of fluky things. You know, that just doesn't happen very often. So I don't think this is a pattern of OJ Howard is going to get hurt every single year. It's been just kind of these freak accidents. So the other thing you have to look at is the contract situation. He is on his fifth year option. There's no guarantee that he's going to return to Washington after the 2021 season if this deal were to go down. So that's going to hinder the compensation. I'm not sure what kind of stipulations you can put on conditional picks. So we're going to play with one just a little bit. But first and foremost, I'm not taking anything less than a second round pick.
you have to have a second round pick in there, especially at 51. I think that's fair value with 1 year left on his deal. He was a top 20 draft pick, still has top 20 talent. And then I would say a conditional fifth round pick, and you can move that to a fourth if a couple of things potentially happen, much like what the Colts are doing with Carson Wentz, playing time incentives, postseason incentives, things like that. But, you know, tight ends aren't on the field all the time. So I would say a fifth that becomes a fourth if they re-sign him. I don't know if that's allowed, but if it looks like he's going to be with Washington longer term than just the 1 year, the Bucs should be compensated fairly for that. But if that's not allowed, you take a look at, did he play 16 games? And I'm not talking, if he's a healthy scratch, I think that should count too, because you're choosing not to play him, but he is healthy and able to play for you, or you have, you know, play percentages that you could throw in there. I didn't dive into how often Washington uses the tight end, or, you know, if he's top two in the team in touchdowns or top two in receiving, it can escalate that draft pick. But I would say at the very bare minimum, I want a second rounder in 2021 and I want a fifth rounder in 2022 at the bare minimum.
Yeah. That's not happening. I love OJ Howard. I really do. And I see where you're coming from. I see where everybody else is coming from that wants like second round compensation and stuff like that for him. But I think that the precedent I'm going to use here is Josh Rosen. And that's not completely fair, because I think OJ Howard, you know, what OJ Howard brings you at the tight end position is much better than what Josh Rosen brings you at the quarterback position. But Josh Rosen was traded with 4 years potentially left on his rookie deal, including his fifth year option, if the Miami Dolphins, one, would have kept him, and then two, wanted to enact that or enforce that fifth year option on him. But at a minimum, they were trading for a quarterback that had 3 years at minimum left on his rookie deal, and they gave up pick 61 in the second round of that year's draft and a fifth round pick. So they gave up a second and a fifth for a quarterback that wasn't coming off of an injury, was just not part of that team's future. And for, you know, for all case and purposes, whatever talents and raw abilities that teams and scouting departments saw in Josh heading into the year before into the NFL draft, they potentially saw that too. It's one of those situations where we're a better fit type of deal. Now, we've learned since then that obviously that wasn't the case. But when you talk about trading for a player and their potential, you mentioned OJ Howard's expiring contract. That's going to play big. I mean, this is the last year of his contract. There is no option year, because this is his option year. And he's going to come into a situation with Washington being the number two tight end. So Washington's not coming to you to trade for a number one. They've got Logan Thomas. They're looking for OJ Howard in this situation to be their number two, their complementary tight end, so to speak, their 12th personnel guy, not their number one guy. So they're not looking for him to be a starter. And they're not going to pay you more than what a quarterback is going to fetch on an open market with much more time left on the contract and much less of an injury history. And we also have to remember, I know from a Buccaneer standpoint, we all have understandings of what's going on, right? But from an outside perspective, not only did OJ Howard miss pretty much all of 2020 with that injury, but in 2019, he declined, right? He didn't improve the way that everybody thought he would be. In actuality, and in the eyes of a lot of other people out there, he declined in production, declined in ability, and that's going to be problematic as well. So you have a tight end that was not escalating, not elevating his game the way that was expected to, and then not only on that, but has multiple injuries that have interrupted, I guess, his rookie deal, and then ended his final season with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers if they do trade him, of course. So I think all of that comes into play. And for me, I think you're fortunate if you get a third round pick for him. I think if you get a third round pick for him, you're going to be very lucky. To me, if I'm the Buccaneers, if I'm Jason Light and Ron Rivera and the brain trust and the Washington football team come calling, I want to start asking for their two third round picks, which is pick 83 and pick 74 in the third round of this year's draft. I asked them for those third round picks, pretty much expecting them to probably come back with 83 and 147, which is Washington football team's fifth round draft pick. Now, that's only 147 right now because the compensatory picks haven't been awarded. Once compensatory picks get awarded, that pick 147 is going to turn into what, 160 if you're lucky? You know what I mean? So that's not a lot of compensation for OJ Howard. But James, what do you think about all that?
I'll make this brief. Here's the big difference when you're talking about trading for OJ Howard versus trading for Josh Rosen. The Cardinals had absolutely zero leverage. Zero. They wanted to get rid of Rosen. Everybody knew they were moving on from Rosen. They had to take just the best deal that they could get. The Bucs don't have to get rid of O.J. Howard. So if the Washington football team really wants him, and I don't think they would really want him or look to trade for him to be their number two tight end, O.J. Howard is a better tight end than Logan Thomas. So if they want him bad enough, they are going to have to pay for it because the Bucs have absolutely no reason to trade him unless they get an offer that really blows their socks off. So I think that's the big difference is the leverage standpoint. Everyone knew the Cardinals were going to draft Kyler Murray number one overall. They had, you know, there wasn't going to be a bidding war. It was going to be, okay, you can either trade us Rosen or you're going to be hanging on to him and it's going to create a rift, you know, and a problem in your locker room because you just drafted this dude last year, or you're going to cut him and then we're just going to turn around and sign him. So I do feel that it's drastically different from that aspect. A second this year and a fifth next year versus a third and a fifth this year. I mean, I guess that's pretty similar. You know, obviously one round difference is somewhat significant, but hey, the Bucs also got Chris Godwin in the third round. So I don't know, two picks this year that are in similar rounds. I wouldn't hate it. But I think you are underselling O.J. Howard. And also, you know, you mentioned the drop-off in production. Really wasn't even that huge of a drop-off. He had some drop issues. The big difference was he wasn't getting touchdown passes in 2019, but he got pretty much the exact same yards.
No, I understand that from a Tampa situation. And all of our listeners said, what are you talking about with O.J. Howard's decline? Da, da, da. I got it. Like, I totally get it. But I'm saying that's coming from inside the picture.
Sure,
you know
sure.
what I mean? I think outside the picture, that's what everybody has to understand. And from a leverage standpoint, I think if the Buccaneers are willing to consider trading O.J. Howard right now at this point in time, and for the record, they have been interested in trading O.J. Howard in the past. There were conversations between this very franchise and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to trade O.J. Howard in a deal that would bring Trent Williams to the Buccaneers franchise. So don't forget that this has already been a conversation between these two franchises. But if the Buccaneers are willing to trade O.J. Howard now, why is it that they're looking to trade him? It's for salary cap purposes. So really, who has the leverage? I think leverage is a situation of perception. You know what I mean? And I think really at the end of the day, if they even come to the table, you have a team in Washington that's looking to add another potential weapon to their team. However, the weapon they're looking to add is injured. He has injury issues and they're not sure what his status is. They're not sure what his health level is and what it's going to be moving forward. Right. And then you have a team that has a player with a lot of potential, but doesn't really have a huge need for him. They've shown that they don't have a huge need for him. If they bring back Rob Gronkowski, because they won a Super Bowl championship without him, and they went through a pretty strong slate of teams to do so. So I think that really at the end of the day, this is a situation where both teams come to the table where, yes, they could keep what they have and be perfectly happy, but they could also exchange what they have and also be happy. And in some senses of the word, exchanging what they have together in this trade actually makes each side just a little bit better, because if OJ comes out, and you're right, when he's healthy, OJ Howard is definitely better than Logan Thomas. So if the Washington football team gets that healthy OJ Howard, then they get a better tight end than the one they already have, and that increases their offensive efficiency for a relatively cheap cost. If the Buccaneers keep O.J. Howard, then they've got a situation in a logjam at the tight end position, and you talk about the wide receivers and not enough balls to go around. There's really not enough to go around when you've got three effective tight ends on your roster. But if they take those draft picks, they could potentially go in there, add some depth along the offensive line, defensive line, wide receiver room, wherever they decide to add depth for, and potentially get some key playmakers for another stretch at the Super Bowl. So, I mean, it's just one of those things where you can go back and forth. And honestly, I think both sides have a big part of the conversation. So it's interesting to hear what Tampa fans and what you had to say. I'm really looking forward to, because we're recording this before Chris and I record Locked On Washington Football. So I'm really looking forward to what the reaction is going to be when I take this information there. And if any of our listeners are also interested in what that reaction is going to be, obviously check out today's episode of Locked On Washington Football Team podcast as well.
O.J. Howard for Terry McLaurin. Who says no?
Washington in a heartbeat.
Totally a fair trade. All right, David, we got to get out of here. Thank you to Tyler, Youssef, Joshua, and everyone else who chimed in on the O.J. Howard discussion. Look, real quick, fun, exciting news. As I mentioned at the top of the show, the PewterCast Awards, the Pewties, the voting ends today. The awards are announced on Sunday on the PewterCast Live YouTube show, and David and I will be there. That's right. We are going to be guests. We both will be guests at the beginning. David, I believe you're staying on for the duration of the show. But
that is the plan, unless new host Ren Dax decides to kick me off before the end of the show.
That's also a very strong possibility. I get the feeling Ren's going to have a short hook for both of us. But anyway, if you would like to, make sure you check out the PewterCast Awards live on Sunday night. David and I will be on the show with Brent and Ren doing the Pewties. Should be a great time. Until then, please check out everything going on over at BucksNation.com. Make sure you're following along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JArco_Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucks_Nation. Hope you all have an absolutely incredible weekend. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, be good to one another. And we thank you so much for joining us right here